Shut your eyes and keep them shut, Razor said loudly. I shall smack anyone who I see with open eyes. The children hurriedly did as they were told. Kelly closed her eyes, took a breath, and slowly folded her shaking arms over her head. As soon as the event horizon collapsed, Joshua accessed the image supplied by the short-range combat sensors. Lady Mac had emerged from her jump 6,000 kilometers above Lalonde. There was nothing within 2,000 kilometers. He datavised the full sensor suite deployment and triggered the fusion drives. They moved in at a cautious 2 Gs, aiming for a 1,000-kilometer orbit. No starships were left in orbit, the sensors reported. Even the interorbit craft from Kenyon had vanished. Victim of a combat wasp, Joshua assumed. There was a lot of metallic wreckage, most of it in highly eccentric elliptical orbits, and all of it radioactive. Melvin, access the communication satellites, see if there's any data traffic for us. And Sara, see if there are any low-orbit observation satellites left. Their memories might hold something useful. They both acknowledged their orders and datavied instructions to the flight computer. The starship's main dish found one of the secure communication satellites, and beams of microwave radiation sprang up to enmesh the planet in a loose web. Lady Macbeth started to receive data from the various observation systems left functional. Everybody seemed to be working smoothly. Their flight to Achillea and the slingshot round its moon had passed off flawlessly. Jubilation at the successful jump from Murora had temporarily balanced out the loss of Warlow. Certainly Joshua experienced none of the sense of accomplishment which should have accompanied the Lagrange Point stunt, the most fantastic piece of flying in his life. Gora said he wasn't sure, but he thought the transference had worked. Certainly a large quantity of the old cosmonic's memories had been datavised successfully into Aethra. The habitat had been integrating them when Lady Mac jumped. The prospect of him living on as part of the multiplicity helped ease the grief to a degree. Joshua felt a lot of regrets bubbling below his surface thoughts, things he'd said, things he should have said. Jesus, did Warlow have a family? I'll have to tell them. Nothing from the communication satellites, Joshua, Melvin said heavily. Thanks. The idea that Kelly and the mercenaries had been caught was unbearable. That would mean their own flight had been for nothing, and Warlow. Stand by to broadcast a message from Lady Mac's main dish. We'll see if we can break through the cloud with sheer power. Sara, what have you got? Not much. There are only 7 low-orbit observation satellites left. They took a real pounding in the battle yesterday. But, Joshua, someone detonated a nuke down there earlier this morning. Jesus, where? I think it was at Durringham. The satellite only saw the blast as it fell below the horizon. Joshua accessed the main sensor image. The red cloud bands over the tributaries had expanded dramatically. Individual strands had blended together, producing a homogenized oval smear that covered the entire Julif Basin. He realized the bright flame glimmer Durringham had produced before was missing. Then he noticed a large circular section of cloud in the southeast had lost its red nimbus altogether, becoming a malaised grey. Interest stirred at the back of his mind. It almost looked as if the red cloud was being ruined by some cancerous growth. He datavised the flight computer for a guidance grid. "It's south of the Qualheim villages," he said with a sense of growing confidence. "That grey patch?" Sara asked. "Yeah, exactly where Kelly said they were going." "Could be," Divey said. "Maybe the mercenaries have found a way of damaging the cloud." "Perhaps. Melvin, focus our dish on it and start transmitting. See if you can punch through and raise Kelly directly." Joshua centered an optical sensor on the area and upped the magnification. The hoary, amorphous cloudscape rushed out to fill his mind. It wasn't giving any clues away. There were no breaks, no glimpses of the ground below. "Ashley, have you been following this?" "Yes, Joshua," the pilot answered from the space plane cabin. "We'll be in orbit in another 3 minutes. I want you to launch as soon as we finish decelerating. Loiter above those mountains in the south, and we'll see if the mercenary team can get out from under the cloud. Under no circumstances are you to go under it.